Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our second lesson recorded in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We read in chapter 5, the first 10 verses. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. Many of us here this morning have had the experience of living in temporary quarters while we awaited moving into our permanent home. For the sake of our devotion this morning, we'll refer to all of those circumstances as tenting, no matter what type of domicile it actually was. Maybe it even was a tent that we lived in while we were waiting to move into our permanent house. The allusion that the Apostle Paul makes is Israel traveling in the wilderness on the way to the Promised Land, where they lived in tents. And even the tabernacle was a tent that they moved and took with them until they inherited their permanent home in the land God had promised them. Before I began my vicar year, and we were able to move into our home, our apartment, our duplex, we lived for a little over a month in the principal's house while he was away on vacation. We have members who have lived and maybe even are living now in a residence hotel or in an apartment while they look for and await the day that they can move into their permanent home. The point, of course, is that this tenting, in whatever form it may take, is only temporary and it is passing. Don't we all look forward to the day when we can have a permanent home in heaven? And that is the picture that the Apostle Paul paints for us in our text this morning as he describes not only our mortal bodies. The earthly tent that Paul talks about here is not just our mortal body, although it includes that. It really includes everything that we experience while we live for these short years on this life. Oh, and it's fine. We receive rich and daily blessings from God while we're tenting. But don't we all look forward to that day When we can leave the earthly tent of this mortal life and enter our permanent and eternal home in perfection with our Savior Jesus Christ, a home, a house that He has prepared for us. And so as we enter the non-festival half of the church year today with its emphasis on the Christian life, we want to affirm the truth that the Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write. And that truth is that we are tenting prior to moving into our permanent house. We see, first of all, we have an eternal house in heaven. And secondly, we see that we are sure of getting there. The break at chapter 5 in Paul's letter to 2 Corinthians does not begin a new thought. In the sections just before our text, the Apostle Paul had been reviewing for the Corinthians his ministry and his life among them. He had reminded them that he had not come to deceive them. He had not come to trick them or lie to them, but he had proclaimed to them only the truth of God's word. He reminded them that even as many receive that word as it is, not the word of men, but the word of God, at the same time there were many who rejected God's word. And they not only rejected God's word, but they also actively persecuted Paul and the others who joined him in this gospel ministry. Paul reminded them also that everything that they had done for the Corinthians was done for the sake of the church, for the sake of those believers, and for the glory of God. It is with that thought that Paul continues the words of our text with that little word, for. Paul had written earlier, summarizing his thoughts, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. And now he continues his thought with that little word, for. We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Isn't that what we know? Isn't that our confidence and our knowledge? Isn't that our hope and our assurance, not only for ourselves, but also for our loved ones in Christ and our loved ones who die in Christ? As I said, this earthly tent is more than my mortal body. It is everything good and evil that happens to me in life. It is every experience that I have for these few short years of life between the time I am conceived in my mother's womb until that time I exhale my last breath, and the holy angels, who always see the face of God, come and take my soul to escort it into the presence of the living God. Job describes the earthly tent we live in this way in chapter 14 of his book, "Mortals born of woman are a few days and full of trouble." King Solomon describes the earthly tent this way in Ecclesiastes. "I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind." In this temporary life, in this earthly tenting that we are going through now, we are naked. And we are burdened because we are unclothed with our eternal house. And we long for that day. One of my more elderly members when I was in Milwaukee, every time I would visit her, she said, "Pastor, why hasn't the Lord taken me home? Why hasn't the Lord taken me to my eternal house? I'm ready to go and I'm eager to be there." And I reminded her, of course, that the timing of that is not in our hands, but is in God's. We are mortal. We are living in this earthly, temporary tent of this life. But that's not where we belong. It's not where we better spend our time and our energy and our efforts. But rather, we belong in our eternal house that God has prepared for us in Christ. That's where we belong, and that's where we focus our efforts and our attention to gain that heavenly dwelling. God has, Paul says, created us for that purpose. I'm going to tell you the purpose of life. It's to go to heaven. That's why God made you. That's why God brought you to holy baptism. That's why God wants you here, hearing God's word and being strengthened by the sacrament. Because He created you for the singular purpose of your life is to use it so that you go to heaven. So that you gain that inheritance of that eternal house that He has prepared for you and for me. In fact, Paul says God has fashioned us for this very purpose. God fashioned us as human beings. He has fashioned us as Christians for the very purpose of getting us into those mansions, into those many mansions or many rooms that Jesus says, "I'm going there to prepare a place for you," He told His disciples on Maundy Thursday night. Jesus said, "I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare that eternal house." It's not a house made with human hands. It's not like the earthly temple or the earthly tabernacle or this house or the house next door that's being built by human hands. This is a house built by God's hands in the flesh. By God's hands extended and nailed to the beam of a Roman cross. It is built by hands that now are raised over us in daily blessing. In the blessing of the absolution of our sins. In the blessing of the benediction that we take out with us into our everyday life. We are tenting prior to moving into our permanent house. And we are confident that we have that eternal house because it has been prepared for us by Jesus. And we know that because God has given us a down payment. He has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's His earnest money. That's His down payment. That's the first part that guarantees the rest of it. Christ is our life through the Spirit. And that is our assurance through that gift that one day we will have our eternal house. And so twice, Paul mentions his confidence and his assurance that we are sure of getting there. Because the getting there doesn't depend on us. The getting there depends on God. On the Father who chose us from eternity. On the Son who stretched forth His hands and offered His holy life as payment for our guilt and for the forgiveness of our sins. And by the Holy Spirit who called us to faith and keeps us in faith through the means of grace. We are sure of getting there. And Paul reminded them of his ministry, as I said. And he reminded them of Jesus' resurrection. He reminded them of the sure spread of the gospel even in the midst of persecution. And he reminded them of the greater glory that our burdens and troubles in life work for us as they humble us and draw us closer to God's Word. You may have heard it said in what, in my opinion, for what my opinion is worth, that it isn't the destination, it's the journey that really matters. When it comes to our faith, nothing could be further from the truth. It's not about the journey. It's about the destination. It's about going to heaven. It's about being faithful to my call so that you can go to heaven. It's you parents being faithful with your children, teaching them and seeing that they learn God's Word so that if anything happens to them, you know that they will go to heaven. And by God's grace, when they become adults, they will still be faithful to their confirmation vows and to their Savior. In this journey, now, we live by faith, not by sight. We trust in God and His purposes for us. But we live in that faith, not by what we see. We live bolstered by what God promises and has given to us, not by what we see with our eyes. Because what we see with our eyes now is what? It's nakedness. It's burdens. It's time quickly, like an ever-rolling stream going by. We long to put off this mortal earthly tent when we are away from the Lord, and long to put on that earthly house when we will be with our God. Some people think that when we say we live by faith and not by sight, and that it's the destination and not the journey, that we're a group of people that are really kidding ourselves and really have in view pie in the sky. You and I don't have our vision for what is coming on pie in the sky. That doesn't exist. What we have our eyes on in our vision of faith is an eternal house, not made with hands, that is there, waiting for us, waiting for our loved ones who die in Christ. And because of that, Paul says, every day we live to please God. As Christians now, we live to please God, not so that we'll be able to get to our earthly house, but because we know that we are going to our earthly house, and we are so grateful that that's waiting for us, that everything we do to please God. And when we are in heaven, everything we do will please God perfectly, like the angels, like we heard last week, who are at God's throne, flying, waiting to do His will, even as they never leave His face. We look forward to that day when eternally and perfectly we will do everything to please God. The Apostle Paul looks forward with confidence, as do we, to that time when we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And you and I, when we are at the judgment seat of Christ, will receive what is due us, whether good or bad. Good refers to everything the Christian does in his life or her life, because it's a fruit of faith. When you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers, everything we have done will be judged as good, because it will be done as Christ's work through us in faith, or our work through Christ in faith. Unbelievers will be judged because their works are bad, because they are the fruits of unbelief. They are the fruits of rejection of Christ as their Savior. The judgment seat of Christ is the entrance to heaven. There is an lectern there with some old guy standing behind it with clouds all around it and people lined up seeing whether or not they get in, as we see so often depicted in cartoons. The judgment seat of Jesus Christ is the entrance, the front door to the eternal house. For the child of God, that door stands open as we stand before it covered in Jesus' blood and righteousness. The Holy Spirit is ours as a down payment on that dwelling. And now as we live by faith, not by sight, we do live with confidence and knowledge of our journey's completion. Amen.